had several glitches, but that happens from time to time. That's not a problem. Do you know? Let's try that. Now, here we go. I'm not going to start over. You don't need me to start over, right? You heard that? But we live in this connected world, and it's good. I mean, I like being connected. I like being able to send texts, and I like doing all of that stuff. And I like being able to email that corporation rather than call them, because that reduces the chance of frustration, right, when you can send the email and wait for a response. But in this connected world also means that more opinions flood into our phones. It also means that you can send out a tweet, or you can send an email, or you can post on whatever the social things that you like to post on, and you can do it anonymously. And all of that leads to just more and more frustration. All of that leads into more and more divisiveness. And it leads into more and more hurt and more pain. But if you ask anybody, I don't care who it is, if they're honest with you for one second, there's one thing that we can all agree on, and that this world is broken. We live in a broken world. And we live in a broken world because when Adam and Eve chose to sin, when they chose to rebel against God in the Garden of Eden, they brought sin into the world. And when sin entered into the world, sin brought death along with it. And death simply means separation or brokenness. You and I, when we talk about a person dies, it simply means that their eternal soul has now been separated from their temporary body. And our eternal souls go to either heaven or hell, depending on what a person has done with Jesus. And in this broken world, we all have to deal with this brokenness. And I think one of the more painful things that we have to deal with as human beings in our brokenness is this, is broken promises. We've all been on the receiving end of somebody saying, "I'll be there, I promise you," and then they didn't show up. Or they've said, "I'll get to you and I'll help you with that," and they didn't wind up helping. And we've all been on the receiving end of that promise. And I bet many of us, probably all of us, have said, "Okay, just this one last time," because the person said, "Well, I promise you, this time it will be different." Only this time it wasn't different, was it? And they broke the promise again. And we were left with that hurt of another broken promise. But if we're being honest, and we can all be honest here, you don't have to raise your hand, this is just you and God talking, we've all not just been a victim of a broken promise. We've all been a perpetrator of a broken promise, have we not? We've all made a promise and then, "Oh no, I totally forgot." And we didn't mean to break the promise. It was unintentional, but we broke the promise. Or we've all made a promise because, well, we kind of thought that we could do that thing, only to discover later, "You know, I really can't do that." Or we've made a promise in haste because, "I just want to get out of here and I want to go home. So sure, I'll take care of it, I'll do it." And we've made a promise that we really never intended to keep. So we've all been victims of the broken promise. And we've all been the perpetrators of the broken promise. But there is one who has never broken his promise. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus. God has never once broken his promise to mankind. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the promise of Christmas. You know, Christmas is the reason for worship. That's been our theme for this little three-week mini-series that we talked about. And if you'll remember 2 weeks ago at the very beginning, I was hoping that we could look at Christmas again with fresh eyes and take a look at Christmas again so that we come to our Creator with this worship atmosphere. Because sometimes we treat the meaning of Christmas like the television show that we put on TV while we go about our day and we do work around the house, and it's just sort of background noise. And God should never be just background noise. God needs to be front and center of our lives. And I want us to treat Christmas as the front and center of our lives, is the reason that we worship God, is because He came to this earth to show us what He's like. God put on a body like ours to say, this is what I'm like. And then He died on a cross to pay the penalties for our sins. Amen. And as we looked 2 weeks ago, we looked at Mary and the wonder of Christmas, and then last week at Joseph and the character of Christmas, I was reminded that when we talk about promises, the value that you place on a promise that's made to you depends on two basic concepts. And the first one is, does the person making the promise have the ability to fulfill the promise that they made? Right? Can they do what they say they're going to do? For instance, I could promise you that everybody that comes to church next Sunday, I will write you a check for $10,000. But don't you believe for a second that that's going to happen. Because I do not have the ability to do that, even if I wanted to do that. It is an impossible promise for me to fulfill. And so you first got to know, well, can that person fulfill that promise? Or are they making a promise that we know they can't fulfill? Well, the second thing, not only are they able to make the promise, does their character reflect their trustworthiness that they'll fulfill that promise? Have they in the past demonstrated that when, yes, I promise you I'm going to do this, they came along and they did it? Or did they break the promise and then you're like, I'm not so sure now because I don't trust them? Well, see, God is trustworthy and God is able. And when we looked at Mary 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the wonder of Christmas, how that the angel came to Mary, this young woman who was living a godly life and following God, and she was engaged to be married and just doing her thing and doing what God wanted her to do. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears to her, and this angel gives her this incredible message. You're a virgin, but you're going to have a child. And not just any old child. You're going to have the Son of God. And we talked about the wonder of all of this information that she was given in this moment, and how great and how glorious of a moment that must have been. And that God is able to provide a son through a virgin birth. That ought to make us all go, wow. Our God is amazing, is He not? He created this universe, so He is obviously able to do what He promises. And Mary had such great faith that when God gave her this incredible story that is the most unique story in all of history, had never happened before, is never going to happen again, her response was, I have faith in you, God, so, okay, whatever you want me to do, God, that's what we'll do. Amazing faith born out of a wonder and an awe of God because He is able. And then last week when we looked at Joseph and we talked about the character of Christmas, how that Joseph, when he receives the news that his fiancée is pregnant, and in that moment he doesn't know what the angel had said to her, he's thinking she's been unfaithful, and so now I've got to divorce her. But in that moment of pain, he still demonstrated to Mary mercy and grace in the way he was going to handle the situation. And he was reflecting the character of God who gives us mercy and grace by coming to the earth, born of a virgin, so that He could die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And that you and I need to reflect the character of God in our lives, extending mercy and grace to those around us. And we also see in the character of God, in the virgin birth, and in Jesus coming to earth, the fulfillment of all of the promises that God had been making for thousands of years. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where God promised Adam and Eve that when they broke the relationship between them and God, God came down and said, I'm going to make a way to restore that relationship. I promise you that. We call them prophecies. And then he would promise that the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's going to be born of a virgin, and all of these promises that God made year after year to the nation of Israel, we see all of them come true in the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas morn. And God fulfilled all of his promises. So not only is God able to do what he promises, God is trustworthy, and he will do what he says. So when Jesus says, you need to hang on because I'm coming back someday, you can believe it. Jesus is coming back someday because he said he was coming back. You and I can trust God. And that is the promise of Christmas. And as we look at the promise of Christmas today, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start down in verse 21, and we're going to pick up a part of the story that always gets left out of the Christmas story. But this is part of the Christmas story as well. Every Christmas morning, before we open presents, before we do anything else in my family, I take out my Bible and I read from Luke chapter 2. We read down and I stop at verse 20, because that's kind of where the main theme of Christmas is. And I stop there, and that's okay. But beginning in verse 21, it's also part of the story. And I want to show you parts of this story today. We're going to meet two more people. 2 weeks ago, we met Mary. Last week, we met Joseph. Today, we're going to meet Simeon and Anna, who are a part of the Christmas story. And we're going to see how that God fulfilled his promises to them as a part of the Christmas story, so that you can trust that God will fulfill his promises to you. So Luke tells us, beginning in verse 21 here, he goes, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In the Old Testament, when God gave the law, the Old Testament, to Moses, part of the law was that when a male child was born, that he had to be circumcised on the 8th day. And then on the 8th day was when the couple at the circumcision ceremony would name the child and publicly declare the name of the child that was born. And so we see Mary and Joseph following the Mosaic law, following the laws of God, where we talked last week about that's what a just person does. I mean, the birth has already taken place. God has fulfilled his promises here. And now they're sitting there going, okay, now what? Now what do we do next? I'm holding the Son of God in my arms. That's got to be a pretty overwhelming thought, wouldn't you think? And I'm sure they're like, okay, what do we do next? But what's one of our main values here at this church? Do the next right thing. You know what? They did the next right thing. The next right thing was 8 days later, they go and they have the circumcision ceremony and they name him Jesus, which means one who saves, or Savior, because that's what the angel said. You need to name him Jesus because he will save the world from their sins. So we see Mary and Joseph continuing to follow in God's path, and we see them continuing to do the things that God had called them to do in a very difficult circumstance. But the story continues. He says, now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The law of Moses required that when a lady would give birth to a male child, she had to wait 40 days. And then on that 40th day, her and her husband would take the male child and they would offer sacrifices at the temple. They would offer a sacrifice, a sin offering, and they would offer a freewill offering, and it would be part of the ceremonial cleansing of the woman after giving birth, so that now she is ceremonially clean and able to enter back into the temple, enter back into the place of worship. So they're following the laws of Moses, and this is 40 days later, and they go to the temple. They're fulfilling the duties that they need to fulfill, and they're performing these ceremonies when it just so happens, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, or he was righteous. Remember, we talked last week, just means righteous, or doing the things that God says right, not what man says is right. Just and devout. So he was righteous and faithful. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So in this moment where Mary and Joseph are coming back and they are following what God said to do and they're performing the sacrifices and the ceremonies that God said they wanted to do, in walks Simeon. And Simeon is such an interesting character. We know very little about him, but we do know this. We know that he was a godly man. And we know that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to be born because God had promised him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah or the Savior. What a promise to have. But here he is waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's getting older, and he's getting older, and he still hasn't seen the Messiah, but he's still waiting. And the Scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And this is different. For you and I, for the Christian, for the person who has been born again, saved by the blood of Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. And the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And the Holy Spirit walks along beside us. But in the Old Testament, it was not that way. The Holy Spirit did not indwell followers of God in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us of many men and women that the Holy Spirit would come upon for certain situations. But it was not a permanent indwelling the way it is for the Christian today. But Simeon appears to have the Holy Spirit with him for quite a while. And he's following the Holy Spirit. And he wakes up one morning, and the Holy Spirit says, Simeon, you know what? You should go to church. And what Simeon said? Okay, I'll go to church. He didn't go, well, God, I got a lot to do today. He didn't say, I'm kind of busy, or maybe I need to sleep in because I stayed up too late that night. Simeon said, it's time to go to the temple. God said, go to the temple. I'm going to go to the temple. Simeon did not know on the way to the temple that he was going to see the promise of God fulfilled to him. All he knew was that God said, go. Boy, what would he have missed had he decided to sleep in that day? How often do we miss the fulfillment of God's promises to us because we are not following the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives? How often do we miss the blessings of God in our lives because we're doing our own thing instead of following what God said to do the way Simeon was? And so here Simeon walks in, and this is another miracle that God gives us as evidence and proof that Jesus is who he said he was. He walks in, and what does he see? He sees a couple performing the ceremony. It's happened all the time. Every woman who gave birth to a son would do this. So this was a common thing. Yet somehow, when he walks in and he sees Mary and he sees Joseph and he sees Jesus, you know what he saw? The Savior. God said, that's him. And Simeon is like, hallelujah. God fulfilled his promise to me. Because that's what God does. God is faithful. And God always fulfills his promises. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Christ Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, it says he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He gave God thanks. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. What? According to your meaning, God, I can die in peace now because you have fulfilled your promise to me. Oh, what a moment that must have been for Simeon. Can you imagine what that was like? All those years of waiting, and now it's time, and God fulfilled his promise, and I see the Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I can die in peace. What a beautiful moment for Simeon. And God offers all kinds of beautiful moments to you and to I like that when we simply follow him. He continues in his prayer to God. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. In other words, God didn't do this in secret. God, I see salvation, and you're making it known to everybody around. This is a busy place. People see this. And he calls him a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And he prophesies and he recognizes that Jesus, when he dies on the cross, wasn't just for the Jewish people. It was for the Gentiles as well. And so many of the Jews in Jesus' day missed this point. They missed the fact that it was for the Gentiles as well. But Simeon, who had been following God, knew this to be true. And he prophesies and he thanks God that Jesus is a light to you and to me and for anyone who chooses to believe in him. And Joseph and his mother, that's Mary, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They're sitting in, how in the world does this guy know who Jesus is? What a moment. Well, then Simeon blessed them. He gives a blessing to Mary and Joseph, and he says to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Well, he looks at the parents and he looks at Mary. He says, "Your sweet child that you're holding in your arms now, the sweet baby Savior, when he grows up, he's going to be the dividing line in all of history." It says the rising and fall of many. In other words, some people are going to look at Jesus and say, "Yes, I believe." Other people are going to look at Jesus and say, "No, I do not believe." And he prophesied that Jesus would become a dividing line in the nation of Israel, and he became a dividing line in all of the world. And what you believe about Jesus determines the destiny of your eternal soul. And he said, it's not only that, he's going to be spoken against. In other words, people are going to hurl insults at your precious little child. People are going to mock him. People are going to curse him. And all of that happened on the cross and even before. He says, your son is destined for a difficult life. Yes, he's the Savior, but it's not going to be easy. And he looks at Mary and says, and your own soul is going to be pierced too. And then at the cross, as Mary is there looking as her son hanging on the cross, nails through his hands and his feet, sword in his side. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gave up the ghost, and he died on the cross as people are hurling insults at him. And Mary's soul was pierced. How heartbreaking to see your child suffer and die like that. But it was a necessary death, and she understood. But it doesn't mean it hurt any less. And we see in the life of Simeon, God made a promise. And God fulfilled that promise on Christmas morning. And God fulfilled the promise to Simeon. Just like God will fulfill His promises to you and to me. God's going to do what God's going to do. We cannot stop it. God's will cannot be stopped. God's hand cannot be forced. But that's not the end. We have one more person to look at. Now, all of this is going on. You got Mary, you got Joseph, you've got the priest who's done his thing. Jesus is here. He's a young child. He's 40 days old. Simeon comes up and he gives this beautiful promise and prophecy. And it tells us now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Look at the detail Luke gives us here. You can go check it out. Basically what this verse means like is Luke says, here's the lady, and if you don't believe me, go talk to her. There's your proof. So anyway, Anna, she's a prophetess. She was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So Anna was a prophetess. It could be that her husband had been a priest and a prophet. We don't know for sure. But in this context, what this means is she was a lady who taught the Old Testament scriptures. She served God in the temple night and day. Most scholars believe that she lived on the temple ground somewhere in a small little apartment. She'd gotten married young, like all ladies did. She lived for 7 years and her husband died. And now she's 84 years old and she's a widow. But ever since her husband died, she's lived at the temple and she served God. And she has taught people the Old Testament. Now this is a big deal. We need to stop and talk about this for 1 second. Back then, most people couldn't read. Back then, there was very, very little reading material, even if you could read. It's not like today where we got books everywhere. We got Bibles in all of our pews, right? You can find Bibles anywhere and everywhere. But back then, the way they learned and heard the scriptures was through somebody telling them. And this lady had been telling people about the coming Messiah for years, because in reading and understanding the Old Testament, she had been reading and understanding the promises of God to the nation of Israel. And now all of a sudden she walks in and she sees the promise fulfilled. She sees the Savior there. She hears Simeon prophesying and talking about Jesus. And oh, how her heart must have been excited, because this is what she does next. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. So she comes in and she sees the Christ child, and she sees Joseph and Mary and Simeon, and she hears what's going on, and she is so excited she begins to tell everybody around her. The stuff that I've been trying to tell you for all these years has come true today. And it says that those that were looking for redemption, in other words, those who were paying attention and those who wanted to know the truth, those who were seeking the truth, was listening, and they responded and they heard what she was telling them. She gave testimony to what she saw. And what she saw was the promise of God fulfilled, the miracle of the virgin birth. The Savior of the world is now here. And I got to tell people about it. Because with the promise of Christmas comes hope. The promise of Christmas is that this broken world that we live in, filled with broken promises, can one day and will one day be restored because of what Jesus did. That when Jesus came and He put on this body so He could show you and show me what it's like to have a relationship with God, He fulfilled those promises. And you and I, this Christmas season, as we think about the birth of Jesus, as we think about the Christ child, as we give gifts and presents to other people, as we share in the joy of Christmas, we need to stop and we need to worship God, because God can be trusted. And God is going to do what God is going to do. And you can depend on God no matter what your circumstances. That is the promise of Christmas, that God will be with you. I want to close with these two verses. We go back to verse 21. When the days were completed for the circumcision of the child, His name was called what? Who? Called Jesus, which means Savior, right? Jesus means Savior. God came to this earth. Jesus was born to save you and to save me from our sins, because you and I can in no way, shape, or form do enough good to outweigh our sins. The only way we are saved is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on His cross. He is our Savior. His name is Jesus. And not just Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just save us for the future, for when we die and go to heaven. Remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew chapter 1. As the angel is talking to Joseph, the angel quotes the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, the promise of Christmas is not just about your future. The promise of Christmas is about your present. That God is with us. No matter that difficult thing that you're going through right now, through that hurt that you're feeling, through that struggle with that person you're struggling with that broken promise that keeps happening over and over again, through that sickness that you're struggling with, or that financial problem you're struggling with, or whatever it is that's got a hold of you this morning, and you just don't know that I can keep going. The promise of Christmas is that God is with you. And God will walk with you through all of it. And God will help you through all of it. The question always remains is, will we let Him? You see, Simeon saw God's promise fulfilled because Simeon followed the voice of the Holy Spirit. Follow God's voice in your life. Follow God's teachings. Follow God's ways. God will walk with you. That is the promise. And God will be with you. And there is nothing in this world that is too big for God. There is nothing in this world that God cannot handle. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, I'm going to ask Thomas to play a song called Come to Jesus. This morning, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe life's going great for you right now. If your life is going great, sing hallelujah, give praises to God. Walk with God through the mountaintops. But maybe you're going through a valley. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you're struggling relationally. Maybe you're struggling physically. Or maybe you're just having one of those moments. God is with you. Will you respond to the Holy Spirit's call on your heart this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, as he plays the song, you pray. If you need to come forward, I'll be here to pray with you if you wish. Or if you want to come pray by yourself, whatever you want. You respond as God has spoken.